Legendary Kills.
Unwanted target dusted. Solid work.
Point for the red team.
On fire!
What's good? What's happening? So, Nick, so we mentioned the other title that we had. Okay, or let's say the other discussion that we had about zombie games, what makes them and what breaks them. And you said Dying Light is at the top for you. I mean, yeah, it is at the top, man. I mean, look, someone else might argue or say, no, it's not really the case, or it is actually the case, because so far the sales look good for Dying Light, but I still say I enjoy Resident Evil. Like, look, let's just say you were selling this on to me, man. Like, you were like, dude, Dying Light is good. I've played Dying Light. I haven't played the second one. Played the first one with the enhanced edition where you get your car and all that. I don't know. What is it called again? That vehicle that you use in the other city? It was good. But
is
now...
Is this Dying Light 1?
Yeah, on Dying Light 1. Remember that, like, after you finish the game when you have
I haven't
the
finished yet.
Okay, so... Yeah. But do you know that there's a part where you can have that other car that you can roam around with? It really helps you, like, in the city.
Not that I know of, no.
Okay,
I haven't seen it yet.
You're still going to get to that part. But Dying Light is good, man. So you say you are for Dying Light because of your reasons. So now, let's just say I'm just a guy, man. I walk into your store now. I'm like, hey, man, suggest me a zombie game. I'm bored. Like, tell me, why is Dying Light so good?
Well, the reason why I enjoy it so much is because of the... exploration factor that you have where I can't think of a lot of games that have the parkour mechanics that Dying Light does. So excluding the grapple hook that you get, you know, that makes things easier to go from building to building. Sometimes there's places that you can't use a grapple hook, and so you have to use the parkour mechanic, and sometimes, you know, you can miss a jump or like try to jump and then grab onto the side of whatever it is, like a what is it, like a ground or whatever it is that you're trying to grab onto, and then you can slip and then fall or stuff like that. So there's a lot of what's it now?
Look what, risk and reward.
Risk and reward, exactly. Okay. In Dying Light, when it comes to their parkour mechanic as well. Sometimes you're trying to, because you have collectibles and whatnot that you can get, like statues that you can collect. Now, sometimes these are put up into like really high places, like even up on cell phone towers or like radio towers, for instance. That you need to get up to, and you can't use your grapple hook. You have to use the parkour mechanics, and you can slip and then fall, and then, you know, you hit the ground and you're dead. But
so then you have to restart that again.
But the thing is, I must say, I think I don't know if they have done if there was a patch on what is it, graphics or physics as well. But when it becomes windy. Right, and or rain, like when it's raining and it's and there's wind and whatnot, they've got all of the sounds in. It's like you're really there. It's the word I'm looking for. Is immersive. They make it extremely. It feels like you're there at that time, and it's raining and there's thunder and the wind is, you know, there's like strong winds that are blowing, and you can sometimes also be pushed off of wherever you're standing if you're really high, and the camera starts tilting, and they have all of these things added in, you know, and it was I did play Dead Island, but not too much of it.
Oh yeah, I never played that. Yeah, how was that?
Very similar with the weapons, right? And whatnot, but you can attach, you know, like if you have a bat, you can attach flame, like flamethrower or blaze, what are those things called, you know, the precise cutting tool Like a flame torch, you know, that you used to cut steel with. You can, like, add components and whatnot onto your weapons. Very similar in that regard. But I don't remember, I can't remember if there was a lot of, it was a long time ago, but I don't know if there were the parkour mechanics in Dead Island.
I don't think they had. Remember that you're just on an island, so there's no way you can drop kick a zombie from there. And there's no buildings actually in Dead Island. It's just like those small houses that you'd find there, like, because, I mean, it's an island, so they wouldn't have those high up buildings. I saw the videos, and on PS4, when I got my PS4, I think it was back in 2013 or 2014, I saw the whole thing where there was the package that you could get with the... Is it the compilation of the two Dead Island games? I just never got sold onto it because it was like, look, man, there's Dying Lights. I can dropkick zombies.
Yeah.
You can have this UV lights as well, which keeps them at bay. And you got the volatiles. What are they, the volatiles? Those big
those things
that come out at night.
Are spawns of Satan. They are the worst things ever.
But they're so interesting, man, because you see them walking around and you're like, whoa, that's something.
No. There's the thing. Mm-hmm. You see, as soon as it becomes... nighttime, as soon as it's dark, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing your character does is he looks at his watch and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Now you know it's nighttime. I think there is a warning that comes up on the screen. It's just like to let you know that now it's dark. Yeah, and if you aren't at any safe houses, then now these volatiles don't come looking for you. They are out and, you know, out and about. But you on your mini map, you get to see they have like an arc shape on the map of their eye view. Of their vision. And so you can sneak behind them if you're quiet enough, but, you know, if you make noise, you obviously attract them. Just to give an example, I was actually playing Dying Light last night with a friend.
Oh, online. Okay.
Nice, and these volatiles, there was something, a mission we needed to complete. Mm-hmm. And it was down in like the manhole, like drain area.
Okay,
In the sewers.
That. Yeah, yeah.
And where we were coming out of, right, it was evening. But now where we came out of was inside a tunnel. Like a road tunnel that you can drive through.
Okay, yeah.
Where we came out was already dark, and there were piles of dead bodies, just like huge piles. You couldn't interact with.
So
we open up the door, and as we exit or to go out, we're like, okay, cool. This doesn't look right. The worst thing we could do was start sprinting. We just start sprinting, and then out come volatiles from these piles of bodies. Dude, I'm about five or six of them. And if you don't have flash, what are they called? UV flashes that you throw out on the ground, that then makes them vulnerable. You're dead.
You couldn't even use like guns.
You can shoot
them down.
Guns don't do anything. I literally. This is like last night's experience.
I had an
advanced military rifle. Emptying the clip out on these things don't do anything. They don't do anything. It's your melee weapons that do the most damage. When you fight these things. But there I am
up close, man.
That's the thing. There I am using a blunt melee weapon. It's not a blade or a knife it's a bat.
And it does nothing.
It's a bat.
It breaks, obviously.
Blunge, right? Mm-hmm. Damage.
Yeah.
So it like knocks them to the side, but it doesn't kill them. Mm. So here's the thing, I don't know how, but I literally only had two flash UV flashes, so I dropped one down and we managed to kill the three volatiles that were there.
Okay.
But then as soon as you advance any further, they start coming out from the door behind you and from and we're just like, no, dude, this isn't gonna work out. And so we tried to get out of there, out of that area, but They just keep chasing you. And I think we, honestly, I think we spent about a good 10 minutes just like at the door killing these things like as they come in. Because sometimes they, died a few times. We actually died a few times.
Oh, but, okay. Okay, yeah.
But it's really, that's, it was scary. Mm-hmm. It was definitely...
And it's first person, that's the thing.
First person. And then you also have your flashlight. You have a UV flashlight that you can use, but it doesn't...
It doesn't do that much. It
doesn't do as much, I want to say damage, but it doesn't cover as much area as your flash, UV flashes that you drop on the floor does.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been a while since we played. We actually got back into it just last night, and I was like, damn, dude, it's been a while. We should check it out again, see what's changed and whatnot. Dude, it's like you just jump straight into it, and it's, you know, as soon as you go in, you're like, okay, and there we are figuring out the controls again and whatnot. But it's, that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
It's like you, it's like, that's what a real life post-apocalyptic world could look like. With like, with zombies.
The way
it's, you just dropped into it. You dropped into this, you know, world of just undead, and it's pretty realistic. I think if zombies were to exist, it would look something like that. But dying light.
Have you tried drop kicking a volatile?
Yes. Playing, oh, not volatile. I don't think we've dropped volatiles, but
it's impossible, right?
Lots of zombies.
Oh yeah, you
just
can.
Like run and then
yeah, then they all fall.
And like as you drop kick them, you just see like ribs crack.
And then they just drop. Oh, but wait. Besides the volatiles, the annoying ones were the recently infected people. Because remember that they still kind of have the hearing and everything like a normal human being. So now they are the same speed as you. You can't really outrun them at times.
They can sprint, yeah.
Yeah, they can sprint. Dude, like I remember climbing onto a building and this thing climbed onto the building with me and I'm at the rooftop. I fight it off. There's two more coming on my way. And I'm like, I don't even have a gun. Because in the beginning of Dying Light, it looks like you don't have guns. There are no guns in the build.
Like, that's what I like so much about it, exactly. They don't just make give you everything. Exactly.
Because I was kind of like disappointed when I first played. I was like, come on, man. Like, this game sold me on some things, and now what's happening? Now I'm there with, like, just the baseball bat, and I have a police button as well, a baton. So I'm using that, and it's breaking, and I'm like, dude, like, I'm not going to, like, last with this. Until I figure out that later in the game, that's when you get guns, and then I'm like, oh, this is...
You find blueprints to... Wait, no, the blueprints are for attaching, like, components to your weapons.
To the weapon,
Where'd you get the guns again?
You have to go safe houses for that. Remember that.
Yeah,
you need to also find the safe houses. Others are on the rooftops. Others are in places that you don't even expect. And then you're like, oh, okay. You have to kill a bunch of zombies. And then you get to the part. Mm. And then you're like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
Because most games, you just kill zombies. Then you're like, what do I get in the end? Nothing. So I guess you can say Dying Light has got that factor. So let's say... Like I said, I play a lot of Resident Evil games, and mine are mostly linear. Like, it's just a linear story.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do kind of give you the heads up that, hey, this is the final boss and all that. Dying Light doesn't have that. They have randomized bosses. Doesn't that kind of kill the story for you, or you don't play Dying Light for the story? You just play it for the
experience? Well, I mainly play Dying Light just for the survival.
Okay.
Because I really... I mean... Look, depends on you know, I guess it depends on situation to situation, because sometimes I launch just to enjoy the survival aspect, you know, spending like an hour and just messing around with the zombies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
sometimes that's what, because I play with my friend.
Or you
friend
just taunt them, you know, they get closer, then you move back.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, because you have those skills that you can unlock. So sometimes, you know, a zombie sprints at you, you can like grab them at the back of the head and then push them, to
away,
the side. And then sometimes the mechanics, the physics look so unrealistic. They like slide on the floor and then sliding
the
to a wall.
And all that. Yeah.
I mean, so it depends. It depends. The thing is, we have been sort of following the story, but I guess it's a mix of both. I think I feel like it's a good mix between of the story and the survival aspect, because there is an objective, mm-hmm. right? There is an objective, and the thing is, when there's something, when there's an objective that you need to get done, there isn't this like linear path that you need to take. You can spend 4 or 5 hours, you know, not completing the objective, and you can explore, mm-hmm. and you can find other things that you, what you call it, like whether it's weapons or other blueprints, or yeah. and I mean they even have the lockpicking factor as well.
Oh, yeah.
You can you lockpick hard locks, like there's difficult locks to lockpick, mm-hmm. you know, and easy ones and whatnot. And they even have stuff like quarantined areas where you go into and you can find really cool gear, weaponry and whatnot if you manage to survive the quarantine zone. Because that's where like the, that's like where the it's almost like where the, what you call them, the volatiles are born from.
Geez,
it's like these quarantine zones on in the same map.
Mm.
So it isn't this like, you need to follow this path to get from A to B. You can go all over the entire place before you even get to the objective that you need to do. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So they allow that exploration. That's what I enjoy so much. And then, on top of that,
mm-hmm.
the cherry on the top
yeah.
is it's a post-apocalyptic world.
Okay.
There are zombies. There's like undead everywhere.
Yeah. I think that's what makes us love these zombies, because we watch a lot of The Walking Dead, we watch a lot of these movies, and now when you get to have a game where you make the decision, it's not like you're watching something where someone wrote a script for it and all that. Now you're kind of writing the script for yourself, because you could choose, enter this building, beat these zombies or kill them, or you could save people as well along the line,
or
you just choose to let them die. I mean, sometimes you feel bad, like your conscience hits you, like if that was real, like I would feel so bad. I mean, like, someone is getting brutally battered there by zombies or getting chowed there, and then you just like, okay, let me help them out. And then you take too long, then they're dead. And then it's like, oh, okay, maybe I should have rushed into that situation and helped them. But then there's times where you're like, look, man, I might risk my bullets. I might risk my weapons. You don't know what's happening, because remember with Dying Lights, the noise that you make attracts everything to your area.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that I threw a grenade the other time, and those recently infected ones started swarming at me, and I could not fight them off because there were too many of them.
That's the thing. Those that are recently infected can, like, dodge. They can, dodge, and you, like, swing, and they just...
Yep. You try and kicking it, and it doesn't work.
And they dodge your attacks and stuff. But did you see with some of them... Interesting, actually. With some of them, that they come to you all aggressive...
Yeah.
And like confident, and they're like about to attack you.
Yeah.
And so using my bat, I just like whack them.
Yeah.
But the thing is, after I hit them, now obviously they don't die, but
mm-hmm.
their reaction is after you hit them, then they go down, and then they on the floor, and it's like, oh no, please, and then they're like they speak, and I'm like, what the?
And you're like,
dude,
okay.
What the hell is going on here, man?
Yeah.
It's like this thing came to me all aggressive and confident, and I hit it in the face once, and then they actually
and then
speak.
If you fall for it, they actually come and grab you, and then they attack you even further.
No. You make sure that thing is dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already undead, but make sure it's
actually like dead. Like you can't get back up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, man, I haven't played Dying Light 2 yet, and I was telling you before that I saw one like cheap, and I'm like, should I get it? Is it worth it? I mean, I played the first, enjoyed it. I don't know if I'm gonna like the second one, man. I don't like spending so much money on a game, and then I just regret it. Like, I'm not so sure. Like, I'm trying to debate. It's still available for me to buy. It's like half the price, but then I'm like, is it worth it? Should I? Will I not regret it? I mean, there's other games that I still want to play. Like, I'm still not sure. Like that, yes. You could say that one as well. So now imagine if I had the two options, Elden Ring and Dying Light.
Dude.
For the same price.
Elden Ring any day. I don't know why you want to play anything else other than Elden Ring.
Okay, fine. That's
no. There are probably people who are like, going to disagree with me.
They are, because Elden Ring is difficult, man. I mean, the Soulsborne games, dude, it's not for everyone. They're frustrating, man. I've played games where, like, I end up just doing the share play, where I'm like, to a friend of mine, can you please beat this boss for
me? Help me out,
yeah. I can't beat them, yeah. And I'm like, dude, just because you can't come over to my place, we're just going to log online. PlayStation has that share play mode where I can give you access to fighting a boss or playing any game mode as long as I'm there as well. Give them access. I'm like, beat this boss for me. Thanks, man. You've done it for me. Now I can go and explore. Because sometimes I rush into these games and I don't level up. I don't have the right equipment. I don't have the right stats. The build that I use is not good enough for the boss.
And again, listen, we're going completely off topic here.
No, it's fine, man. But that's us preparing for the next show.
But this is exactly what... Now, let me just mention that Elden Ring is my first Souls game. I've never played Bloodborne, Dark Souls, Dark Souls 1, Neo, 2, nothing. 3. So all four of those.
Yeah.
So Dark Souls 1, 2, 3 and Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
And Sekiro, which is also another game.
Yeah, Sekiro was difficult, man. I couldn't beat
From Software. I haven't played any of them. Elden Ring is my first Souls game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine how frustrated I became. So, yeah, it's... In the beginning, I would literally... It would give me stress.
Yeah, yeah.
I would actually get so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And the one time I was actually telling a friend, I was saying, I got so frustrated with the game. It was early. It was like maybe 6 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got so frustrated, I went to bed. Because of how frustrating and
they make you aggro these
but
games.
That's the thing, dude. I'm not gonna stop speaking now about this. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, that's what makes it so amazing is how sophisticated their AI is.
Mm-hmm.
I've never experienced an AI interaction like I did with Elden Ring.
Yeah.
It is none of the bosses are as predictable. You know, unless you've died, some people have died more than 200 times fighting the same boss just to figure out their patterns.
Exactly.
You know, how to beat them. But that's how unpredictable these boss fights are. And it's so bad that you think, oh, I've just taken down a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Get involved with a little mob of normal enemies. Just normal.
They kill you, man.
They destroy you, dude.
I know that thing. Where one stabs you on the side and then you're like, okay, I'm going to recover. The other one hits you.
Exactly.
When you try fighting back, the others just stab you.
They don't. That's the thing. These guys don't wait in line.
They don't.
To fight you one by one. They all come at you at the same time. And that's what makes Elden Ring so different. And I think also, I mean, others could probably say the same about the Souls games.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I've never played them, but it's from the same, you know, game studio. So
they only
improve that AI more for every release that they
just to
that
make
they
you make. Frustrated, basically. But
it's
what
so
I
good.
Do is I invite people over, man. I'm just like, look, I'm gonna set up online, summon people over. Like, I think the maximum that we've had on Dark Souls and Bloodborne was 2 people. So 3 of us just go in there. Sometimes the boss kills us, man. There's 3 of us.
Yeah.
One is good as a magician. Like, they can do spells. I'm good with the hand-to-hand combat. Then the other guy just does range damage. But the boss just finds a way to say, okay, I'm going to kill the mage because that's doing more damage. And now I'm left in this game. And I'm like, but I summon companions. At times, there's even these bots that you can summon around the world.
Oh, like...
And they don't help you, man. They're just useless. Yeah, they're like the fallen ones. They have died in the game, but then you summon the person or the bot, and then they're just useless. I remember in Bloodborne where I summoned one, I walk into the boss fight, the person can't get through the wall, and I'm like, but you are bot, you are supposed to obviously know that this is the direction. I don't know if it was a glitch or what. Now I'm there struggling against the spider, and with this spider in specific, like, you need to use an electric weapon. I didn't know.
Yes.
I'm there fighting the spider with just a normal weapon, hitting the legs and all that, and I just keep dying. And I'm just like, okay, fine. I'm going to YouTube this, or I'm going to just play online with people because I clearly can't handle this game. So if I get Elden Ring, I think I'm going to summon people. Can you do cross-play as well? Like, I'm on PC, you're on PC.
I haven't actually checked if it is cross.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, I mean, that would be worth it, man. I would want to see how good you are and that you can help each other out, man. Like, I struggle with these games. I remember Sekiro, I never even beat the first boss. I couldn't. I couldn't play it, man. I ended up giving it to a friend. I was like, dude, here's the game. Like, go for it. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I only play these games if they're online and I can summon people over. And yeah, Sekiro didn't give me the chance, man. That was the one game that defeated me, like, flat out. So my experience with the Souls games has been good up until the point with Sekiro. And that was the last Souls game that I played that was, yeah, difficult. But yeah, man, I think that's for the next show. We're going to discuss the tactics that we can use online on these type of games. So
yeah, yeah. Discuss... Souls games.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna talk about. The tactics. What we can do for maybe, like, let's say a new beginner and all that. So yeah. You could give me advice what to do.
You should actually check out this guy. He's already blown up on YouTube.
Okay.
This
is the speedrunner.
He goes by the name Let Me Solo Her.
Okay, okay.
That's and a weird name, but it's for a good reason.
Yeah,
yeah. If you do a bit of research on the boss, what's her name, Melania,
mm-hmm.
the Blade of Mikula.
Okay,
you'll see what I'm talking about. There's this guy. People have literally done concept art about him. People have printed his character onto T-shirts.
Mm.
He's like, you know how you have like no clothes on except that little cloth around.
Yeah, I know that.
And then he's got like a jar on his head, so nobody even knows what he looks like. Man. No armor, dude. Jeez. You know what he says?
Yeah.
He's even got a saying. He says, "Why should I wear armor if I don't plan on getting hit?"
Ooh, okay. Okay, that makes sense because now you're fast, like you nibble. You just.
Yeah, well, I mean, anyone can do that, but it doesn't. I think it takes a lot of skill and experience to. Know exactly how to dodge, because
exactly.
I mean, any of us can do that. You know, go in and then get hit once and die. But there's a reason why this guy's at the top. People literally call him an in-game summon.
Oh,
so he's not.
Yeah.
So in-game you have spirits that you can summon to assist you.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Elden Ring, he's so sought for that people have called him an in-game summon.
Wow.
So that's. That's how much people need, like, get him to assist them with this one specific particular boss, Melania.
Okay.
That's why his name is Let Me Solo Her.
Okay.
Because you summon him in, and you just stand on the side, and he does the fight for you, yeah.
That's interesting.
With his, the jaw in his head.
Yeah, yeah.
But you should check him out. There's even a story about him. People have done concept art. People have... Yeah, he's at the top.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, no, that's interesting, man. Look, we got to close off the show. And yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I think the next show we're going to do that basically at tips. And I'm going to watch that guy. So yeah, we'll get back into it and discuss it. And yeah. Anyway, this was the Gamer Zone show. And Nick, any last words?
Nothing from me.
Nothing
from
just me.
Keep gaming and...
Yeah.
For
sure, de-stress as much as you can.
Yeah, enjoy it and don't get frustrated. It's just a game, guys.
It's just a game, yeah. Alright, cool.
XFFM is everywhere. Go find us and click that button. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and so much more. See all the fun posts, get involved in interesting discussions, voice your opinions, and get updates by following us on social media. Spread the word. It's that simple. Become part of the family today, because radio has never been better.